Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and how grateful I am you chose to be with us, or me, on this beautiful June 3rd, 2017 day. That's when this is supposed to be heard, but we put it on our website very early so you can enjoy it there. And if you haven't been to our website to listen to past and future and present radio programs, you can do so by going to aspire.org. That's aspire.org, O-R-G. I want to remind you before we do this program, as always, that I am very grateful to my sponsors who make all this possible. If it were not for my sponsors, I would not be sitting here in my little studio in my home and making these programs for you. So please know I am grateful, and I hope that those of you who do enjoy the program and get something out of it, that you will become sponsors of our program to help us sustain it. You can go to www.aspire.org, and if you do, you will see support on the main page. Just click on it. A menu will drop down, a submenu, and it will say, "Why support Aspire?" And it will tell you everything you need to know about where your donations go, that they are tax deductible, and how to sign up, and all the benefits you get for being a sponsor besides just this radio program. I do everything I can to try to serve humankind in this way. And to some people, it's just a philosophy, and they truly don't get it. They think they do, but they don't. But for those of you who truly get it, I hope that you will join us. Every so often, I get powerful emails, emails that I think are really interesting, really, really interesting. And this three-part email comes from a friend that I grew up with as a kid, and I admired him. I still do. I love him very deeply. He's the closest thing I have to a brother, as it were. And he is an avid sponsor and helper of this program. And he had some questions that he recently posed to me in an email. He gets the monthly discourses, a very wise man, and I thought, well, you know, this would be good for everybody. This would be really, really good, and I'm answering questions that some people don't know how to put into words. That happens. So here we go. This is from one person. I don't have permission to use his name, so I won't. I'm just going to read the questions and answer them and hope that you are benefited by this. They're all about karma. I've been thinking, Greg, and wondering about the difference between free will and karma. How much does karma play in everything, and how does it interface with free will as you go through life? Let's just do karma and free will, okay? Let's just do that. Now, what I'm about to say is not going to be pleasurable or pleasing to most people. You can say, well, honey, you know, and you know what? I'll just let that one go. I sat with the Tibetans for a long, long time, many years. I have meditated for many, many years. And that's all I'm going to say. There's more to it than all that, but I don't want to sit here and do the credentials thing, okay? And if you hear and resonate to a truth, you hear and resonate to a truth, whether it be spoken by a child or an old man like me, okay? So here we go. We don't have free will. People want to believe we have free will. People love to think that. It excites their ego, stimulates their brain chemistry and all that other good stuff. And in living in that way, in doing that, we miss what is really going on and what our life is all about. You don't have free will. You and I, Greg Penn and you, have set into motion a certain energy that goes through our life and lifetimes. This energy precedes us in everything that we do. And I mean literally precedes us. So I am constantly, as Greg, dealing with the energies I've sent out. I'm not dealing with other people. I'm not dealing with consequences and circumstances that seem to come out of nowhere. I set certain things into motion. These things that I have set into motion, I did out of a previous karma, and a previous karma, and a previous karma. So all these things are happening to me because the energy, the quality of my energy has not changed. I'm still acting out of the putzeria of Gregory Penn, if I'm not careful. So this putzeria that I live in, that I live, move, and have my life in, is undetectable by me because basically I'm too arrogant and ignorant to see what the heck I'm doing here and how I'm sending this into motion. So I run around thinking I have free will in the small box that I live in, and I can be vengeful here and angry there and self-righteous here and unforgiving there. And I can choose to be a putz, and I can choose to, you know, flabbergast my ego into all sorts of arenas with other people and fight with them and make this all ugly. It's just the way Greg is. So if I sustain this kind of behavior and mentality, which most of us do, then I don't have free will. I'm just acting out of column A, column B, column C. Those are the only three columns I have. I have no other columns to look at. I have no other way to look at it. These are the things that I am elected to live from. And typically these come from my genetics and my DNA. So there is no real free will. There really isn't. When you only have three choices or two choices, I wouldn't call that free will. I can choose which one I want. You say potato, I say potato. You know, I can choose which one I want to work out of, but I don't have an array of free choice. I'm usually going to work, if I'm honest with myself about it all, if I were not meditating and in a practice, I would just be working out of survival. Everything would be about my survival. The survival of my ego, the survival of my vanity, my pride, my arrogance, just survival. So there really is no choice there. I have to survive. And that's why I ask my students, I ask you, why should we survive? What does that mean? Does that mean that I should survive at all costs and live my life in accordance to all of that? So this is what we do. We don't live out of the meaning of our life. We live out of the arrogance and the ignorance of our life. And so we make stuff up that fits. Free will? How much free will do you have when you obtain a disease? Well, you have this chance for treatment and that chance, and that's it. You've got maybe one or two. Is that free will? Oh, I guess you could say that. You don't have many choices in this free will. So you go with the choice you think is best for you. We do this with almost everything, with people, with situations, with conditions, the whole deal. So it looks like it's free will, but we really don't have it. I know people love to think, oh, we're free, we can do whatever we want to do. No, we can't. We can't do whatever we want to do. That is really silly. We live in this world and we are confined to the choices of this world. And if you call that free will, okay, you have that. But you really, really don't, because No matter what you choose, now listen to me, no matter what you choose, it's going to be counter to what is. Because the choices in this world are only privy to my human mind, my distorted point of view. I live out of the collective unconscious if I'm not meditating and working upon myself. So my karma is going to be repetitious. People will call it luck. It's not my luck, or it's just my luck, or whatever. It is the repetition of me insisting that life can work out of pain and hate and personal sorrow, that I can live in hate and fear, resentment, pettiness, and never see the light of a greater love. There is something all of us need to have a little taste of from time to time. I want you to think about the person you think most hurt you unfairly. A person that most did things to you, you believe, that were not right. Okay? It was your fate to meet this person. And this is the way we don't want to look at it. And there is nothing in this world you could have done to change it. Because you made a decision many, many lifetimes ago to live and move and have your being in this way. To choose to be with this person or these people or to have this situation. Do you have free will to get out of it? Well, you could do other things, but it will catch up with you later on in some other way, in some other means. So it just seems to me that you would want to nip it all in the bud right now. Just to like come to that place where you go, you know what? No more ugliness in my life. Now, my question is, what is the difficulty in forgiving when there is a person in your life who has caused you nothing but problems and all of that? You think that you're the victim. You think you're the one that was wronged. How wrong did you do that person? How do you and I know what we've done? You and I don't know how difficult we are as people. No one wants to see how difficult they are. No one wants to love their enemy as their self. Oh, they'll quote Jesus and Buddha and Lao Tzu and all these people. They'll quote, quote, quote. But when it gets down to the nitty gritty, they won't pick up the phone and say, you know, I am very sorry for my part in all of this, and I hope you will find it in your heart to forgive me. Pride won't let you do it. Vanity won't let you do it. Self-righteousness won't. Can you imagine how off-kilter you would be if you were to love your enemy as yourself, actually pick up the phone and do it? In my 40-some-3 years of being a teacher, I have never seen anyone do that. It's very sad. But that is the only free will we have. It's outside the box. The one that hurts the most, the one that is most painful, the one that would really drag you into the forest of your own contempt and fear and see exactly what you and I are doing in our life to be contemptuous about other people, to be assuming there's the issue. There's the problem. I won't do it. Why won't I do it? Because it doesn't feel right. People will tell me this. I say, forgive them. Let them go. Love them. Be grateful for your enemy. Oh, I can't do that. It's too hard. Or they'll say, all right, I'll do it. But they don't really do it. Look at your emotions. How much free will do you have in there? How many emotions do you have in there that limit your ability to act in accord with love? You don't have any. And so as long as you live in the emotional patterns that you and I have chosen to live in based on our genetics and our DNA, our chemistry. It just gets down to chemistry. Well, we have no choice at all anymore. There is no free will. Not until we choose love. And the choice of love is a very different thing. It is something you come to through either meditation and or the practice of ultimate futility. Ultimate futility is a real problem child. That's the way we do it, lifetime after lifetime after lifetime after lifetime, living in the futility of our hatred, our fear, our anger, and not knowing it. You think you know what's right? You think you know what's true? You think you know when you've been wronged and when you haven't? You miss. We know not what we do. We want to believe we know what we do, but we know not what we do. And hence our karma shows us that and makes it more and more and more difficult to live in the state of love. It's just very difficult for us. And until I surrender to love, until I let love live me, until I am willing to see what a difficult person I really am and what I put people through in order to love me, I will never know what's really going on with my life. So, this person asks, how much does karma play in everything, and how does it interface with free will as you go along in life? Karma keeps showing me the consistency of Gregory Penn's stupidity, his willfulness, his ignorance. That's how it works. If you stay in your emotionality, if emotions are everything to you and the only thing that matters is what you can gratify yourself with emotionally, you're going to have great difficulties in your life. So my life will be about the karma I've put out there. And the only, as I said earlier, the only opportunities I have are the ones that my karma presents. I have to step out of my karma to seek mercy. To be merciful towards those who have despitefully used me, as Jesus talked about, is a very important thing. I don't know many people that do that or even prone to it. Even the professionals that I have met, people who you would think would know better, who are actually even to this day teaching and still can't do it because their pride's at stake. You know, when you gather a lot of people around you that you believe are your supporters, either emotionally, mentally, financially, whatever, you bend and contort in that manner. And you begin to find that you start to doing things that you didn't want to do or you didn't intend to do. And they are, well, buttering your own bread, as it were, instead of liberating you. The last question he asks, how much does a person's path govern their lives versus the paths that affect that person? Our personal path is what affects us. The things we do are the things we face. There is no difference between the personal and the path that we are living on. You are what you are. You make your life what you make your life. Your life is not by accident. There isn't one single minute thing in your worldly life that you and I did not cause in our inner world, in our inner life. Everything that I face in my outer life, whether it be a thisa or a thata, is caused because Gregory made it so. Now, when you come to Earth, planet Earth, you're going to be faced with a lot of contempt and fear and hate and all sorts of things. Ask Jesus about that one. He had to face it too. So did the Buddha. These were men who chose to stay here and teach us the way out of our karma, to actually change it. We're never out of it. We just go to higher laws and principles as we go along. They were here to show us how to use it effectively. What did we do with their teachings? We made religions and slogans out of them. We have no idea what they're really talking about. People live in a certain form of academia. They take information and they institutionalize it through their thinking and their emotions. Well, if you act this way and don't act that way, then this will happen. So, you know, we want to think that we can govern our lives in this manner. Should we even think about doing it that way, we miss the meaning of everything we're doing, because the hidden meaning is in the gaps, the pauses, the spaces between our thoughts. That's where it's at. We flub up our life, not because we're evil, but because we choose it without knowing it. We choose hate over compassion. We choose fear over trust and faith. We can't say, "Thy will be done." We just can't say it. We want our will to be done. We think our will is better than thy will. And because we live in such a manner, we create for ourselves the repetition of karma. So we think, I have no other choice. I'm damned if I do and damned if I don't. How do you know? I say don't. Don't pull the trigger on hate and fear. Always give a person the chance, including yourself, to be merciful, to be kind. And though your prejudice and your fears and your angers and your hostilities still remain, it doesn't mean you have to choose them. But people will be engulfed by them and choose them and not even know they're doing it. They won't even know it because it just engulfs them. It's the old monkey see, monkey do. Everybody else is doing it. I guess this is the way I have to do it kind of thing. And that's the way people think. Believe me, I see it all the time in hospice and my work with people who are ill. I see it all the time. Everyone chooses the worst part instead of the better part of their heart. You want free will? Here's what you must do. You must do that which everyone else is telling you not to do. You must be unconscionably generous and kind. Unconscionably. To such a point that people think you're being frivolous. To such a point that people believe you've gone off your rocker. To give and forgive. To let go. To transcend the human and all of the gravitas of it. To live without the need to retaliate. It's very, very important. What is our karma? Until we grow and mature, it is just the continuum of our fear and our hate, our selfishness and our pride, until we are absolutely convinced, either through futility or meditation and personal insight, that there's something different. I hope that helped. And I hope I did justice to my friend's question, who I dearly love. Please forgive me. Namaste. I'm out of here. I hope this particular Aspire was helpful to you. And if so, I hope you will become a sponsor and help us sustain this very important program. I hope to be with you again tomorrow. And if you ever have any comments or questions, you can always email me directly at greg@aspire.org. Have a wonderful day. And again, please forgive me, eh? Namaste.